Ah, the sounds of summer. Birds, buzzing insects, a breeze, and... In the United States, that sound has become a part of the climate. Energy-sucking air conditioning, blowing through the interior spaces of our lives constantly. A frigid wind that even tries to grab us off hot city streets when cool air from the air conditioning of a clothing store beckons. Air conditioning has become irresistible. It has fueled the summer sales of sweaters. That makes a lot of sense. And maybe AC is becoming unaffordable. The General Services Administration estimates that raising the temperature just in federal buildings 2 measly degrees in the summer would save the government $1.8 million per year. Good riddance to that excess AC, I say.
And I actually have friends who claim they don't like air conditioning.
I've heard that, too, from people.
And they're all like, well, I don't like air conditioning. And I guess, you know, they're right. I mean, when you think about what is air conditioning, it's just a definite solution to a problem. Oh, it's hot in here. Click. It's cool in here. You're right. That does suck.
Actually, air conditioning is creating problems. Besides making it colder inside than it is in the winter, which is kind of nuts, it can make the workplace less productive. In 2004, a Cornell University study found that increasing office temperatures from 68 degrees to 77 degrees led to faster typing and fewer errors. A Berkeley study found that buildings kept below 73.4 degrees Fahrenheit lead to a 50% increase in headaches, fatigue, and difficulty concentrating. The optimal temperature range for workplaces during the summer is between 74 and 76 degrees Fahrenheit. That's according to the Cornell study. But Professor Gail Brager thinks she knows why our use of AC has become so irrational. Brager teaches architecture at UC Berkeley and is associate director of the Center for the Built Environment, where she leads research in mixed-mode buildings that combine natural and mechanical ventilation. Air conditioning, she says, is like heroin. It takes more and more to give you that original feeling of comfort.
Well, I think we are using excessive amounts of energy to do that, which, and we all know the problems of that, but we're also creating an addiction to air conditioning, and that's having implications for both comfort, health, and climate change.
Now, if you go to an outdoor environment in a place where it's hot, you'll see people in different zones. There'll be people sitting in the shade. There'll be people sitting on chairs fanning themselves. There might be people near water and maybe people in various stages of undress to make themselves personally comfortable, kind of customized little environments outside. Is that not possible in a building that is centrally controlled?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's part of the problem is that our standards right now promote an idea that we should be creating these thermally neutral conditions. And I associate that with thermal monotony. And I think people want that variability. There's an idea of biophilia, which is about people's inherent connection to nature. And in the natural environment, in our recreation, we actually seek out these more rich, variable, and multisensory environments. And we don't have any of that in our indoor environment.
Now, let me just say that I have been known to get cynical at academic jargon related to various things in our world. But I have to say, I have fallen in love with this term, thermal monotony. What are the symptoms of thermal monotony?
Well, most of us who have worked in offices that are centrally controlled in these open plan environments are experiencing it every day. And there's some indication that it can actually lead to fatigue, that I think we seek out some kind of variability because it's more stimulating. And we are finding over and over again in our studies in buildings that people are complaining about the lack of air movement, that they actually want more rather than less in all seasons.
It seems completely irrational to keep the temperature in the summer lower than would be comfortable in the winter. Why has it happened that way? Why do retail establishments, hotel lobbies, particularly grocery stores, I suppose they want to keep the peppers and cucumbers cold, but still that doesn't explain how cold they are.
No, you're right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I hear people complain about it anecdotally, and we hear people complain about it through the hundreds of surveys we've done in buildings, that we are definitely keeping buildings too cool in the summer. And there are associations with health and productivity, perhaps, But I think people are really screaming for some kind of ability to control their environment.
What are some personal climate solutions that are more efficient if they were used in every office cubicle?
Well, some of the research that we're doing at the Center for the Built Environment at UC Berkeley is we are looking at very small localized comfort systems. We're developing some USB-based desktop fans, which are very low energy, foot warmers, and our favorite is a heated and cooled chair. And the idea here is that just like task ambient lighting that a lot of people are familiar with, where everybody has light over their desk, so you can turn it on or off when and where you need it. Well, we're trying to do the same kind of paradigm shift, if you will, for thermal conditioning, where the person has these different abilities to condition their bodies through air movement or radiant heat or the heated and cool chair. And then what can happen is that the ambient conditions can float over a wider range, and you don't have to overcool the corridors and the transition spaces in the areas near the ceiling.
Getting back to the idea of addiction, when a retail establishment over air conditions the entranceway on a hot day, are they playing to the idea that we're addicted, that if we are hot and someone is offering us extreme cold, that we run towards it because we're addicted to this sense of air conditioning relieving us instantaneously?
Well, I think that may be part of it. The problem is the longer term duration of being exposed to those conditions. So if theaters or retail markets want to use that as a way to attract customers or to show prestige, I think doing it in more localized spaces such as the lobby is one thing, but then maintaining more reasonable temperatures throughout the rest of the store would solve both the energy and comfort challenges.
But it is it basically is a kind of a brainstem thing. You're going after a pleasure center of the brain in the same way that you know, a crackhead is attracted to to drugs, right?
Well, I actually think there's a real addiction issue there. And I think that if you look at what we look for in our recreation environments and what we're being exposed to in the indoor environment, it's really not very healthy.
Gail Brager is professor of architecture at UC Berkeley and associate director of the Center for the Built Environment there. She leads research in mixed mode buildings and combined natural and mechanical ventilation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.